Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, finish a conversation. Here we go. Wouldn't you say that probably at least, once a month we're asked to from some not so well-meaning person, how can I draw a conversation to a close without,
how can I walk away from somebody who's telling me stuff I really don't want to listen to? Is that
exactly. How do I have a great relationship, have this brief conversation, but, it's been 30 seconds and I'm done.
Yeah, this is a case where I think a lot of our listeners aren't aware of the value of our forums where people ask all kinds of questions, at manager-tools.com/forums where, you can ask any question you want and often I'll answer it, but many times other professionals will answer it in a way that'll be helpful to you. And, it came up on the forums and for years I've been asked this question and I finally had a chance to answer it. And so I did. And a couple people said, "Oh, wow, I..." Never dreamed it was that straightforward. But as we've alluded to already, right, the problem with the question of, how can I politely extricate myself from a conversation? The problem with the question is we know that too often the person who is asking is an incredibly high D, a very dominant, very forceful, very make it happen, very time is of the essence, got to go, 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 go kind of person. And they have an attention span of a squirrel. And
squirrel.
Yeah, a squirrel. But what's our joke, right? How many executives with ADD does it take to screw in a light bulb? And the answer is, want to go ride bikes?
Yeah, exactly.
Literally, I have never had somebody ask me this question, how do I end a conversation, who, when asked for an example, didn't want to end the conversation that they were relaying to me post actual occurrence after an abruptly short period of time. And I would have guessed that they probably were tapping their fingers in irritation within seconds. They ask a question of somebody, "Hey, how's it going, Bob?" "Good, good. Okay, great. Hey, where are we on Project X?" "Oh, we're fine." "Okay, great. Thanks so much." And they're going to walk away and Bob says to them, "Yeah, speaking of that, do you think about this or that? Or what do you think the next step is?" And of course, once this person has already heard we're at Y when it comes to Project X, they're done, right? The person whom they've asked the question has served their purpose.
Right.
And they're done with the conversation. And they literally almost have no net to catch the idea that the conversation is not done for the other person. And because it's not done for the other person, there might be some politeness, some cultural sensitivity would suggest that they might to hang around for a few minutes rather than just say, "Okay, I'm done," right? I mean, we literally they expect conversations to be over within 30 seconds, which is something like, "Okay, I built the relationship. I got what I wanted. Let me go do some important stuff. Bye."
Well, that's the problem, right? Is the context of this question they give you is that, I want to end the conversation 30 seconds, yet I still want to have all the benefits of a relationship with this person.
Yeah.
The fact is, you can't. I mean, that's there is no good answer to that question. It's like, dude, if you want to have the relationship, you got to be willing to put in more than 30 seconds. Sorry.
Yeah. Unless you're talking to another high D, right?
Right, right.
So this way of living your life, it works about 20% of the time. Lucky you. So roll the dice, folks. Yeah.
Okay, so there's no easy answer, i.e., you're not going to build a relationship with people other than yourself that, that have your same profile, that the other D, for example, the other 75% of the people. It's not going to work. So what do you tell this high D, hard charging type A individual who asks you this question? What do you tell them to do under those conditions?
Before I get to the outline of the cast, let's just agree that time is what makes relationships. even if you're a high D talking to another high D, you have to choose to spend time with other people in order to develop relationships. And if you're a high D and you've been promoted a couple of times as a manager, maybe you're a senior manager, maybe even a young or a junior executive, we'd be willing to bet that you have been trying to do drive-by relationships for a while now. And it's going to come back to haunt you, because at senior levels, as we've said before, that what you call politics, senior executives call collaboration. And if you don't have relationships with people and you're going to have to collaborate with them, that collaboration is going to fail. They're going to rely on trust and relationship history to work with you and to work out compromises. And if you don't have it, if you're not willing to sit down and spend the time and hold your breath and wait 10 minutes longer in order to sit in somebody's office because their internal clock moves slower than yours, then if you're not willing to do that, it doesn't matter. You know, Mike, you and I, before we started recording, we're talking about Isaac Newton. And look, how did Isaac Newton, what was part of the reason, part of his epiphany about thin film science? How did he come up with that? Well, according to legend, Isaac Newton, one of the geniuses of all of the history of mankind, he invented calculus, for God's sake. Isaac Newton was sitting in a bathtub outside blowing bubbles and was watching the refraction of visible light on the surface of a soap bubble. So, I mean, sometimes you may have to wait a couple of minutes for genius to happen, and the world doesn't necessarily beat on your clock, you IDs. I knew I could get Isaac Newton into one of our casts someday, right?
I'm happy now.
I mean, he invented calculus, really, seriously. You think, you know, every once in a while you think, maybe I'll make a difference in the world. And you think, oh, no, no, I won't. I'm not Isaac Newton. So look, we have four recommendations. The first one is, this is about how to end a conversation in a professional and polite and reasonable way when, in fact, we know you're probably wanting to bail after 30 seconds or even 15 seconds. The first answer is spend a little longer than you think you're used to. Okay. Or spend a little longer than you think you would normally do. Okay. You have to slow yourself down. Okay. We know your clock is beating faster and you can still wait a few more beats. The second thing is, if it goes on a little bit longer than you think is reasonable, and we're not saying ready, fire, aim here, then number two, ask to be excused. It's not hard. You just ask to be excused from the conversation. Number three, if for some reason the ask is not fulfilled, you use some subtle body language to suggest you're moving away from the conversation ending. And then step four, if they decline, we recommend you wait a bit longer after that. And then you absolutely state your need to be excused. And it's not an ask, it's a statement, in which case then you can excuse yourself, even if the other person doesn't appear to be recognizing that your point of view regarding timing and the amount of time you spend in the conversation is reasonable as well.
Okay, so spend a little longer. I tell you, for many of us, and unfortunately I fall into this category as well, where, you know, if I'm in a conversation with somebody, I've got what I needed out of the conversation. My internal clock, I have this little voice inside that's telling me, you know, it's time to move on. My internal clock, when it comes to conversation, probably moves a little faster than most folks.
Oh, definitely faster than mine. It's amazing to me. You just blow people off left and right. Yeah. That never happens to me. I'm innocent, sir. It's him. It's my partner. He's the guilty one.
Yeah. No, there are fast clocks, and then there are just clocks that, literally, yeah, every time the hand goes around, it breaks the sound barrier. That's how
there
fast,
you go.
Yeah. That's how fast your clock goes, dude. Okay, so give me a break here a little bit. I mean,
what you're saying is what seems like an eternity to you isn't long enough for other people, right?
Yeah, I know it, and it can be really hard. I've got to think hard about it.
Yeah, your definition of long enough to a high S, a person who's a team player and a good listener and somebody who cares about other people, frankly, they think of you as rude, right? You think, okay, this has gone on long enough, this quote relationship building unquote stuff.
Well, yeah, the high S, the folks that are interested in relationship and care a lot about others and slower paced, et cetera, that's how they feel it's rude. But then there's folks, and I'm a high C as well, but in general, when it comes to my executive life, my high D takes precedence. And so I could talk to other high C's, and they don't think I'm necessarily rude. They just think I'm stupid because I'm not willing to listen to all the details that are important.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if you cut too short, then the high eye of the world, you know, they're going to feel like you're not interested in them, that you're not focused on them, right? Which is hurtful to them.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And again, for those of you who aren't familiar with the terminology, we're referring to DISC profile stuff. It divides people into four groups, D, I, S, and C, according to their behavioral tendencies. It's available on our website, or you can get it other places as well. And there are many other places that have wonderful systems as well. You can find out which group you are, D, I, S, or C, on our website, or you can, in fact, there's an effective communications conference where we teach the idea of paying attention to others' behaviors and then changing your communication style to match that other person. So look, to your question, Mike, in the same way that you want to bail on the conversation sooner than some people want you to, this is why for you, other people appear quite often to drone on interminably, right? You're right. Like, I can't believe this person is still talking. Don't they know this conversation should, and that's always a bad word when it comes to management, should be done. But look, the fact is other people aren't trying to be annoying. They do pick up on social cues. They do know when to stop. It's just that their interpretation of relationship building opportunities, these kinds of situations where you're talking to somebody else, that they see those situations as different than us. Those of us who are high D's, and in your case, a high C, are, you know, you're going to want to cut that a little bit shorter in many cases. And if you want to build that relationship, you're going to have to give that person more time than is natural to you. You know, look, you can tell the high D's of the world, right? They're the ones using the self-serve at checkout line in the supermarket. You know, I can swipe the goods at my speed, right? Rather than having a cashier who's never fast enough. I'm amazed, right?
They're terribly slow.
Like, yeah, I'm not getting in his or her line.
More importantly, though, for me at least, is if I use the self-checkout, I don't have to talk to anybody.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you have no desire. Why would I be interested in engaging in social banter with someone whom I'll never see again in my life?
Exactly. They can't get me something I need.
Yeah, you know why they left the cashier-attended checkouts in supermarkets. I mean, you do understand that, right? Because other people don't value efficiency over everything else the way you do. Other people, remarkably, Mike, want to discuss the new packaging on laundry detergent because that connects them with people who share a similar point of view or maybe even a different point of view than they do. Other people like that the cashier goes slowly because they can then pack their bags more efficiently. Other people genuinely care that the cashier is having a good day. Unlike my former boss who once sat down her housekeeper who came into her office to clean the office and said, "Look, Joan, I need to tell you something. When I ask you how are you in the morning, I don't really care what your answer is. I'm just being polite. So don't tell me actually how you are. Just say fine."
She actually said this to the person?
Oh, I was sitting, well, you know what I'm talking about. I was sitting 10 feet from her when she did it. She actually complained to me the previous couple of days that the housekeeper was having a rough week, and she felt badly that she felt obligated to ask as a form of just being a lady that she had to ask, "How are you this morning, Joan?" Because she knew it was going to create a discussion about family or personal issues that my boss at the time didn't want to get involved in. And so she literally sat her down and said, "I want you to understand something. When I ask you how you are," I mean, this is a quote now, "I don't care how you're doing. I'm just being polite." And I tried to explain to my boss later, politeness doesn't mean you don't care. Politeness suggests that you ask that question and you ask it because you do care, because it is polite to care about other people. And she kind of shook her head like, No, that's crazy.
No.
Politeness just requires you to ask a question. Yeah.
Okay. So folks, if you like me, occasionally have had that thought, but vocalized it, you can feel pretty good about yourself.
Yeah. Don't vocalize it. That'd be good. Right. So look, the first rule is spend a little longer than you think is necessary. When high D's, and for those of you who feel like the conversation is going on too long, and you know that you're kind of a driven person, if you think of yourself as driven, or you think of, you know, you always wear a watch and you know what time it is all the time, and you're constantly trying to get more done in the day, whether you know anything about D, I, S, or C, if any of those phrases apply to you, then when you start thinking, I need to go, our first guidance is stop that and recognize that the best thing to do is spend a little longer than you think necessary. Whatever you think is, quote, necessary, unquote, is less than what anyone else in the world thinks of as necessary relative to relationship building. Now, one more thing. If you don't think relationship building is important, you can save yourself a bunch of time with this cast. Just turn us off right now, okay? Because if you don't think relationships are important, and look, if you're Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg or something like that, relationships aren't important. I just saw the movie Social Network, and boy, the opening scene with Mark Zuckerberg and his soon-to-be former girlfriend is literally brilliant high D and frankly also high C kind of repartee back and forth at a bar in Harvard. And if you think it's all about time, all about efficiency, and all about speed, and all about getting things done, the fact is, you know, half to three quarters of the world doesn't agree with you. And the moment you start thinking, I gotta go, our first guidance is, you're wrong. Stop. You don't have to go. Give yourself a little bit more time. Spend more time than you think is necessary. In the words of Ralph Waldo Emerson, great American thinker and writer, good manners are made up of petty sacrifices. And that 2 minutes you spend waiting when your brain is saying, I got to get out of here. I can't believe I have to listen to this person. I have stuff to do. Don't you know how important I am? The 2 minutes is a petty sacrifice because your 2 minutes are, in the big scheme of things, fairly petty. Another couple of minutes, that's all we're talking about, is not going to put you so far behind that you can't catch up, okay? The return for you in terms of the development of that relationship is far bigger than those 2 minutes. Plaster a smile on your face, breathe, and wait a little bit. Trust the conversation will come to a natural conclusion within the next couple of minutes. And if it doesn't, then we've got some more steps. But here's the thing. I'll put it to you this way, in the words of efficiency, the 2 minutes you spend now will save you hundreds later because this person won't leave thinking you're a jerk. They'll think you're a nice person. And the next time you need a favor, you won't have to beg and grovel. They'll be happy to step up. You'll save 5 minutes the next time you have to ask them for a favor because you won't have to ask. You'll say, would you mind? And they say, well, sure, I'll be happy to do it. What is it? They're literally willing to say yes before you've even asked them what it is. Whereas before, if you didn't have a relationship with them, you'd go to their desk and you'd say, I need your help on something. They'd look at you and go, okay, what is it? And then you know that you have to pitch it in such a way that convinces them that it's in their best interest to do so. And for them, best interest means having a relationship with the person whom they're doing a favor for, which they know they can't have with you. And so it's unlikely you'll be able to convince them. 2 minutes will save you hundreds with every person. And the first way you start spending those 2 minutes is when you think it's time to go, you're 2 minutes too soon.
Okay. So I think it's time to go. I, like you said, I plastered a smile on my face because truly plastered on there. I smile and I wait. And 2 minutes goes by and it's clear this conversation is not coming to an end.
It's on its way to efficiency hell, right?
Oh,
it's
yeah. Never I'm dying. Gonna happen. I'm absolutely dying. I'm getting ready to explode. I have a smile on my face, but I want to try to salvage this. So what do I do now?
You got some head nods going there? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You've got all the little phrases and comments and little eyebrow raises that make people think you're actually paying attention when, in fact, you couldn't give a flip what they're saying. We respect that. Both sides have a point of view here. Mike's side is a point of view, and the rest of the world, the part of the world who cares about the people, they have a point of view, too. I love making it's you crazy the bad guy here because this is true of me, too, right? Yeah. Okay, look, the simple fact is, number two, you ask to be excused. You look at your watch.
And say, gotta go.
yeah. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh. Look at the time. Goodbye.
Look at that.
That's not what we're saying. Yeah. Look at all the time I've just wasted. I've got to get back to work. You ask to be excused. And notice, you know, we've said this before as managers. I mentioned this just recently at a conference in London. I said, never ask a question of a direct as a manager. And this is true for professionals too. Never ask a question whose answer you don't intend to honor. If you're a manager and you're asking a question whose answer you don't intend to honor, don't ask a question, make a statement, right? But questions are a much more powerful motivator for the people. So what you do is you look at your watch. And by the way, that would mean you'd have to wear a watch because that's what professionals do. Look at your watch, smile, and say, would you please excuse me? In fact, Mike, I know you hate it when I do this, but let's all pause. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to ask you guys to say it. If you're in a crowded car, then you don't have to say it out loud. You can just whisper it. But if you're by yourself in your car, I want you to say it out loud. Would you please excuse me? Repeat after me. Would you please excuse me?
Would you please excuse me?
There you go. Okay, so Mike and everybody else just did it. It's not that hard. Remember that the people you're likely talking to value pleasantry, and they value adherence to reasonable, appropriate social norms more than you do. Look, Mike and I, and probably Wendy too, and to some degree Maggie as well, probably think it's perfectly okay to hang up on a cold caller. But they don't. There are people who feel guilty when they hang up because they want to be respectful and caring about other people. Taking our normal approach to leaving conversations makes them feel like they've been hung up on, right? If we leave too soon, they feel like they've been hung up on. And that's rude. And they wouldn't do it to somebody else. So why would you do it to them? You must not care about them, which is a very harmful thing for the eyes and asses of the world, particularly. Make a polite request by saying, would you please excuse me? You don't have to say why. Okay? You do not have to say why. It is rude of a person whom you're asking to take your leave from for them to imply that the reason you're leaving is of interest or of value to their allowing you to leave. They don't get that right. In the world of politeness and professionalism, would you please excuse me is a way of saying politely, I need to go now. You don't say I need to go now. You say, would you please excuse me? Don't say I have to go. Don't say I'll let you go. I hate that one. I'll let you go now. What? For half of the world, the idea of you letting them go is anathema to them. They don't want to be let go. They want to be held on to. And frankly, I have to go or I'll let you go are power moves. They say, I'm in control of this conversation and I get to decide when it's over. Well, that may be true in your mind, and in fact, it is true to the extent that you can walk away, but the question is not whether you can walk away. The question is, when you walk away, what are the repercussions to you long term? Would 2 more minutes have saved you 100 minutes later? On the other side of the coin, if you leave now, how many more minutes will you have to spend in the future in order for you to have saved 2 today? It may be a bad bargain. A conversation is something that happens between 2 people, okay? Nice as it would be some days to only talk to yourself, right? And there are some people who are listening going, yeah, those are my favorite days. And by the way, part of the reason you think it's one of your, those are your favorite days is because you always think of yourself as being right. And therefore there's no conflict. The point of a conversation is to develop a relationship. That means allowing the other person in the conversation to have power too. Like, you know, I've said before, look, this means you need to have a watch on. Taking out your phone and looking at the display means something different to the person who sees it. Looking at your watch is neutral. You're not saying, I'm going to go do this X thing. You're saying, I need to go because of time. It has no meaning. When you look at the watch, it has no meaning apart from what time is it, right? Looking at your phone says, who is calling me? Who is called? Who is more important than you? What work can I get done that's more important than you? As opposed to, I have other things to do just like you do, and time is a critical metric for me. So I'm not choosing somebody else or something else over you. I'm just recognizing I have a limited amount of time. You know, if you look at your phone, it's again, it's what reminders or text message do I have, which again are more important than you. It's rude, folks. It's rude to do that. Now, you might think, well, but my phone is my clock. And you know what? We know that's true because you don't have on a watch. And because for some reason in your office, there aren't 1 or 2 or 3, or even in some executives' cases, 4 clocks in the room. I'm always amazed at the executives who say, the managers who say, well, I'm an executive. I look around and there's not a single clock in their office. And I think, you know what? Maybe you're really not an executive. Maybe you're just a manager who doesn't really appreciate the value of time as a competitive advantage yet. Wear a watch. and use it, okay? Don't look at your phone, because to everyone else, your phone is a repository of other people wanting to talk to you and other tasks wanting to take your time. Your watch is just a measure of efficiency and effectiveness. It's not a call to do something else that puts them lower on the rung, the social or the personal ladder, than whatever it is you're looking at on your phone.
So I want to go back to what you suggest folks do, which is look at your watch, smile, and then say, would you please excuse me? And you have to do all three of those things, right? So if you didn't look at your watch, because looking at the watch is suggesting there's a time constraint here. You're not saying what you have to do. You're not saying you have to go. You just noted by looking at your watch that there's a time issue here. If you did not look at your watch and simply said, hey, would you please excuse me? Would not have the same impact. Is that right?
Yeah. I think it's absolutely true. And by the way, we're showing good faith to the person when we ask, would you please excuse me, by not describing what it is we need to go to. Because if we have to describe what it is we need to go to, by definition, we are implying a value judgment that wherever we're going is more important than what we're doing now. The only way that's likely to be true for a lot of the things we would leave for is if that person we're talking to is relatively unimportant to us, which is not a way to build a relationship. And again, this is all predicated on the idea that you understand that relationships matter. So yeah, you have to ask in the abstract, would you please excuse me? And you rely on the other person to be a professional, to be polite, and to say, oh, of course I will. And by the way, folks, hopefully you hear this in Manager Tools and Career Tools Cast all the time. You understand that you might very well be on the other side of this. And when someone else, whether they're your peer or your superior or your subordinate, none of those words necessarily are words that Manager Tools likes to use. But in terms of, higher than you, lower than you, or at the same level of you in the hierarchy, if someone says, would you please excuse me? The answer is yes. And it's not a matter of whether you're getting your feelings hurt or you don't get to ask, well, where are you going? And the reason why is the same reason why if you see one of your peers conducting a one-on-one with your boss, you don't interrupt your peer in her one-on-one with your boss, because you want the same reciprocity when you're in a one-on-one. By the same token, if one of your peers says to you, would you please excuse me? You think to yourself, how nice. She has thought it through. She knows she doesn't have to give me her reason. She knows she needs to look at her watch and smile and essentially imply, I have other things to do, which of course is not just an implication. It's a fact every second of every day at work. And I've spent a good bit of time with you. And would you please excuse me now? And the appropriate answer is yes, of course. Have a great day.
Right.
Simple as that.
Okay. Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense to me. So what if I do that and it's still not working? What next? The person says, I say, would you please excuse me? And they say, oh, sure, absolutely. But let me finish telling you a story about
John. I've got a story here.
Like, oh, yeah. Please shoot me now.
Just one more thing. Yeah, I got to tell you, the whole just one more thing, not so much. not a friend of the high D's and high I's of the world. Okay, but look, when you say, hey, would you please excuse me? We recommend you engage in some subtle body language that suggests that you're ending the conversation. Close your notebook. Okay. Don't slam it. Okay. And don't slam it and say, gotta go, bye. Right. Ta-ta for now. Close your notebook. Stand up slowly if you were sitting down. Turn slightly away. Change the angle of your body's, the perpendicular line that goes through your torso, the line that is perpendicular to your shoulders. Change that line relative to the person whom you're talking to. If your shoulders are squared to the other person, in other words, a line that goes right through the center of your chest would end up intersecting with their chest. Turn your shoulders left or right so that the line of your attention is not directly pointed at them, okay? Move slightly further away. Stand up if you were sitting down. Turn a little bit and take a part step backwards, Okay. And you can use some of these together. If you're already standing up, you could just turn and step partly backwards. Or in some cases, would you say, well, you can say, would you please excuse me? And just take a quarter step backwards. You don't even have to finish the step. You just have to lift up one foot and move it toward behind you. All of which the body language, your co-participant in the conversation is going to be aware of, you're disengaging from the conversation. So all of these work sometimes by themselves, sometimes in pairs or in groups. Now, look, you have to ask to be excused at the same time as you're standing up, okay? You know, we've told the story before of the manager Wendy worked with who would stand up and walk to the door of his office when he felt the meeting was over.
All right, well, that's subtle.
not a lot of subtlety there. He reported to the board of a 13 billion pound company. Yeah, he was entitled. And if you don't report to the board of a 13 billion pound turnover company, you're not entitled to act as if you can walk people to the door just at will, particularly not your peers and definitely not the people whom you report to or whom are your boss's peers. Now, look, it's not your judgment of what's rude or not rude which counts here. It's the other person's perception of how politely you're attempting to extricate yourself from a conversation that they understand you probably don't want to spend as long a time as they do in, okay? You can stand up and walk away when they are in mid-sentence and gain 2 minutes of useful time back. The problem, again, as we've alluded to before, you'll also get that reputation of being rude and hard to work with. In fact, to some extent, we don't create our own reputation. It's the impression of others. The world is a world of perception, not a world of reality. We don't see the world the way the world is. We see the world the way we are. And if we're a person who likes to spend more time and then we interact with somebody who likes to spend no time, we perceive that person as rude. It's unfair. It may be an inaccurate label, but that's the label we're going to put on somebody. And how do we avoid being thought of as rude by other people? We spend a little bit longer and we learn how to say, would you please excuse me, while stepping up, standing up and stepping back and closing our notebook and so on.
Good. Okay. That makes sense to me. So it's not simply enough to ask if you could be excused, but the subtle body language makes that a lot more powerful.
Yeah.
And I say subtle body language. Yeah. Okay. So I've done that. Now, let me ask my question again. I've done both of those things and I'm still... man, this person's still not letting me go. Let me make one more point, or let me tell you about X. What do I do then?
Oh, shoot yourself.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, now we've gotten to truth.
That way you won't ever have to face this terrible problem again if somebody wanted to spend more time with you, Mike.
There you go. Not that people often want to do that.
I don't know how we fell into this meme that you were the bad guy here, but it's kind of nice for a change.
I kind of like it, man.
I think there are some people who might know that my clock beats about as fast as yours, right? So
I think there may be a few people who
understand. So, okay, look, we're going to take it a step further. If they decline, right, you can pause slightly longer. So our recommendation is you wait a little longer. And then you go ahead and complete all the disengagement body language and the waiting politely that we've suggested. Step back, close your notebook, smile, ask to be excused if they continue talking, stop taking notes, take perhaps a smaller step backwards as well, turn your body slightly away from them. It's not hard at all. Now, for example, you say, would you please excuse me? And they say, I just need a minute longer to tell you about Bob. Or, hey, before you go, I want to tell you about that basketball match, right? Or the baseball match or the basketball game, whatever. As frustrated as you may be, and I promise you, Mike and Wendy and Maggie and I, all of us here feel your pain. Our recommendation is, again, you wait a little longer. We can promise you, for all the high D's and high I's in the world, and in some cases, you high C's, this waiting a little longer, they won't think that it's waiting any longer. They will think it's another 15 seconds added on to your original 25, and now you've barely made it over 30 seconds, and you think you've spent 5 minutes when, in fact, two eye blinks and a head nod is all you've spent talking to this person, getting the core information you need out of them, and then moving along. If you have to, put your hands in your pockets. If it helps you to chuckle a little bit, put your hands in your pockets while you're stepping again, maybe just a teeny bit further back. No notes now. And sing Margaritaville in your head the way I do, just to keep from getting irritated that they don't know that politely when you say, would you please excuse, when you ask, would you please excuse me, the appropriate, correct, polite answer is yes, of course, I understand. there is a right answer to, would you please excuse me? And the answer is yes, of course. Okay. So wait a little longer. Wait a little longer. As I've joked before on cast, put your hands in your pockets and sing Margaritaville in your head just to keep you from getting irritated. And we respect that you're getting irritated, and we know your clock is running faster than others, and that's okay. We're not saying you're wrong. We're saying that relationships require you to behave in ways that are not natural to you. Anybody can behave the way they normally do. It's the true professional who chooses to behave in a way that's different than he or she normally does in order to work with people who are naturally motivated and behave differently than they do. Relationships aren't always about you and your needs. They're about both people, you and the other person in the conversation. Now, look, don't sit down. Don't open your notebook again. Don't step towards them. Don't encourage them. Don't ask questions about the story, right? Simply disengage physically and don't, you know, you can smile. It's not appropriate now to just suddenly shut down and give them the stone face like you're the riot police or something, or that you've suddenly become a diplomat and you have no ability to show facial expression at all. Pretty straightforward. And then last, you know, the second step is now we've asked, they have violated propriety by not allowing us to leave after we've politely asked. And so now we state our need to be excused. If for some reason their declination of our request to be excused appears to be becoming a lengthy kind of denouement that really is of low value, now you state rather than ask, I really must excuse myself. And by the way, people love this. I've tried a lot of different ways of saying this. You look down at your watch and you say, I really must excuse myself. Now, notice the structure there. I really must. Must is a pretty strong word and really goes back. It essentially modifies the previous question of, you know, would you please excuse me? So now I really must. Must is a either or black and white on or off sort of thing. I really must excuse. And the last word in that statement, not a question, statement, is beautiful. Myself. I did what I was supposed to do. I spent some time talking to you. I felt like I was done. Perhaps I was wrong. And then I did the appropriate thing and said, would you please excuse me? You then failed there, dodo head, to recognize that I behaved appropriately. Maybe I could stay a little bit longer, but nobody wants to stay as long as you want me to, right? And I did the appropriate thing. I asked to be excused. You weren't smart enough to know that that was your time to release me. And so now after a short additional period where I have essentially given up complete control of this conversation about which I want to be out of, I've given up complete control to you. Now I get to reassert myself because this is not a one-way conversation. And I get to say, I really must excuse myself. Look, they ought to know enough to honor your first ask, which is simply your way of politely communicating that you have other obligations rather than continuing the conversation. It's not a matter of tit for tat here, but if the person talking to you is rude enough not to honor your request to leave, then you are entitled to state that you really must leave and you get the right back to excuse yourself. It's simple as that.
Yeah, of course. After doing all the things you just suggested I do and letting this conversation go on for five times the length I want it to go on, this seems perfectly reasonable to me at this point.
Yeah. And we want to go back to the earlier comments we made. It doesn't take as long as you high D's or high I's think, right? You think it's forever when in fact it's 2 seconds.
Yeah,
it's exactly. 30 seconds. And 30 seconds to some people in the world really makes a difference between you being rude and you being a polite person. And that matters. Look, anytime you leave a conversation too soon because your clock is ticking too fast, you're essentially taking a withdrawal from the emotional bank account of the relationship you're building up with another person. Take an extra minute. Take an extra 2 minutes. It'll probably hurt you. But after 30 times, you'll get used to it and your ability to tolerate it will last a little longer. And then people won't go around saying behind your back, he's a jerk and he never has time for anybody else. But the stuff that he says are important.
Yeah.
So quickly, spend a little longer than you think you need to. And then when it comes that time, ask to be excused. Say, would you please excuse me? Okay. Use the word please. Make it a question, right? Don't say, please excuse me. Please excuse me is a statement. It's a demand rather than would you please excuse me, which is a question. And that's how you're asking. Again, use some subtle body language. Stand up. Stop taking notes. Put your hands in your pockets. Step away. Turn your body, your shoulders slightly away from direct focus on the person that you're talking to, and talk less, perhaps look down as well, and that will help you. And then if for some reason they decline your polite request, you need to wait a little longer. And then, of course, it goes from a request to a statement, and it's as simple as, I really must excuse myself. It's not hard. Politeness isn't a worthless exercise, folks. We've talked about it a lot, actually, in Career Tools, and some people have kind of poo-pooed it with me. They've said, you know, I'm surprised you talk about that. Civility is the grease that keeps us from tearing each other apart tooth and nail, folks. Human beings love to get together, and then when we get together, we love to fight. It is the nature of the human animal, and we need some things to make those things, those interactions that might become tense, a little bit more civil. If you appreciate the benefits that improved relationships will bring you, and there ain't no way you're going to be a great executive unless you have great relationships, then those few extra minutes you spend now listening to somebody are essentially the price of those benefits that you're going to have later. The word to remember is excuse, pronounced with a Z, folks, and not an S. It's not excuse, but excuse. Would you please excuse me? And the subtlety is in first asking and then stating. Simple.
Excellent. Thanks, my friend.
My pleasure, partner.
We'll see you. Would you please excuse me? I got to go.
No, wait, one more thing.
Okay, I'm waiting. This podcast could last a long time.
Put a smile on your face, would you?
Right. Thanks, man. Bye.
Thanks, partner. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you again next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.